Good evening, everyone. Thank you to Pastor Fola, Pastor Mrs. Wura, the leadership of Love Assembly. And thank you, everyone, for joining us from wherever you are. You're welcome. Amen. Amen. Tonight, it's going to be an awesome night. Tonight is going to be one of those nights you would never forget, because I trust that God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, has something prepared, packaged with your name on it to deliver to you tonight. Without further ado, I'd like you to join me in prayer as we invite the Holy Spirit and engage with the Lord. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for bringing us before your very presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Lord, I have nothing of mine to say. The things that I might have prepared, Lord, I yield myself and I ask that you take over. And I ask that you speak and minister to your people your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion. And Father, let everyone tonight, from the old to the young, Father, let everyone leave tonight with their cutting edge restored. Father, I give you praise. I ask that your glory fill this place, fill every house, fill every heart and every mind. And Lord, I ask that you open the scriptures, open our understanding tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I just want you to make sure that there's no distraction. Make sure that you are geared in, you're fastened your seatbelt, and you are ready to receive from God. As the word of God is coming, the Bible says in the book of Luke that as Jesus was teaching, the power of God was present to heal. And tonight is our communion and healing service. And the healing of God comes as the end. The Bible said the entrance of his word brings and gives light and understanding. And when the light comes, darkness goes. Darkness goes. You don't need to struggle. Darkness just goes. And as the word of God permeates like a gamma ray x-ray healing, tremendous things will be happening. So gather your family as we go into the word tonight. Praise God. In this season, God has given us a word, getting back our cutting edge. Remember, as Pastor was just sharing, you know, when God speaks, or when we look at the year, to the Lord is like a second, because 1,000 years is like a day, and a 1,000 years is like a day. So if you break it down, a year is like less than a second. So God is still speaking in the one sentence. Declutter your heart, declutter your mind. Once that happens, my glory will be poured out upon you. And once my glory comes upon you, it would do something to you. It would make you sharp. My glory will make you sharp. Will bring back the edge, the competitive advantage. Will bring about the difference. Is the differentiator, is the differentiation in our lives. So I want you to be ready. I want you to be prepared. So one might ask, you know, what does cutting edge mean? What does cutting edge mean? And as I've just defined, it's the factor or factors that allow someone to perform better, to excel, to outpace, to excel and beat the competition or the rivals, to excel in a calling, in an assignment, in a purpose, in anything. That different maker. You know, if you look at athletes that run, they all train and train and train, and you find out that when they get to the race, the difference could be a millisecond, could be just a frame. And that is what the Bible is that's what that theme, that word cutting edge means, that the differentiator, the difference maker, the thing that makes you stand out from the crowd. That is what a cutting edge is. And God is saying us getting back our cutting edge. That means the cutting edge must have been lost. you know, something, you can't get back something that hasn't been lost, or something that hasn't been misplaced or displaced, or something that hasn't been used. You know, if you look at the scripture talking about the salt, where the salt of the earth, and it says when the salt loses itself or loses its potential, it becomes useless, it becomes common, ordinary. And God tonight is saying that he knows that most of us have lost our edge, have lost our thing that sets us apart. And tonight, and this season, he's restoring it. He started the restoration process. And I want you to be sensitive, because as the word is coming tonight, you would find and you would locate. The scripture says that we'll look at 2 Kings. But I want to answer another question, and that question is, do I have a cutting edge? Do you have a cutting edge? You know, my children, do you have a cutting edge? My husband, my wife, you know, myself, do I have a cutting edge? And the answer is yes. Each and every one of us have a cutting edge. I want us to, there's a Bible study, so let's read the scriptures. The Bible says, Paul speaking to Timothy said, we should give heed. We should give heed to the study of the scripture, to the reading of the scriptures till I come. So let's look, and as we try to answer the question, do you and I have a cutting edge? I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. I know we're going to display it, but I just want you to engage with your notes. If you're making notes, engage with your Bible. Let's flip through the scriptures and the pages, and let's engage with it. You know, it's exciting. You know, sometimes just reading from the hard copy, the paper copy. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, verse 7, if I start from verse 7, but to each one of us, so everyone is included, everyone is mentioned, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us, a measure of Christ's gift has been given. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So every man has been given a gift. There's something that has been put in you and I when God created us from birth. He put something in us, and it's amazing. It's amazing that every man has a gift. That's why you see people do different things. Even people who are not born again, who are not Christians, Muslims, people who don't even have any faith, there's something they do. There's a skill, there's a gift, there's a discovery, there's something they've done. But I want you then to look at us as Christians. If every person has a gift, every human being has a gift, let us see the difference between us and the world. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And there the Bible says, the word of God says, to them, Colossians 1, 27, yeah, it says, to them God willed to make known, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So we are Gentiles, people that have been called out, right? When you give your life to Christ, yeah, you have a gift as somebody who's born, a human being, but now God wants to make known a wealth of glory. Remember, we're still in the glory and we're walking in the glory. It says, which is Christ in you, the mystery of that glory is explained, the mystery of that glory among Gentiles, we that have been engrafted into Christ. That mystery is this, which is Christ in you, Christ in you. The world does not have Christ in them. They have gifts. This is important. Every human being has a gift, has an edge. But for us that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you have not tonight, I trust that you will before the end of this meeting. For us that have given our lives to Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when Christ comes into us, something happens. And that thing that happens is that the Lord comes to tabernacle in us, and he is the hope of glory. So the edge that we have, you and I have over the world, over somebody who's not saved, is Christ. This is powerful. This is powerful. Christ, meaning the anointed one, the anointing itself, like the Holy Spirit in us, is the difference maker. Okay, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen containers. Somebody might be saying, ooh, okay. But it says, we have this treasure. You see, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So this Christ in us, God in us, is the treasure that is contained in earthen vessels, so that the extraordinary greatness of the power of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Oh, this is incredible. This is incredible. So every human being is an earthen container, is an earthen vessel. They can do something because of the characteristics of the container. You can do something. You can drive, or you can learn how to drive. You can learn how to write codes. You can do something that gives you an edge over, say, animals, over inanimate things. However, for us who are saved, who have received Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, for us who have decluttered our hearts and decluttered our minds, for us who have entered into the glory, that have seen this glory, Bible says that we then have this treasure called Christ in us. So that the extraordinary greatness. So the treasure in the container is so powerful, it that's the cutting edge, that's the competitive advantage, makes us extraordinary, delivers extraordinary results, helps us edge the competition, so that the power would not be of us. We would not say it is because I am the earthen container and earthen vessel, that's why I'm doing this. No, the reason why we have a competitive edge is because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. The reason why your children will be exceptional is Christ in them, the hope of glory. The only reason why your marriage will have an edge is Christ in your marriage. The only reason why your innovations, your life will shine, it's Christ in you and I, the hope of glory. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. Amen. Amen. And why is this? Why is this? First Peter chapter 2, verse 12. First Peter 2:12. It says, can you bring 11? 11, bring 11. Let me bring it out. Why does God put this glory in us? In us, amen. First Peter 2:11. Yes. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Continue. I'm talking about abstain, decluttering. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, continue, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation. So the reason why God puts his glory, puts his glory and his spirit, that edge, in this earthen vessel, is so that they might say anything about the vessel, because it's an earthen vessel. They might say something about the color of the vessel. They might say something about the size of the vessel. This vessel is fat. This vessel is green and purple. They can say evil. They can say anything about the container itself. But when they observe the manifestation of that container, they would have no choice but to say, to give glory to God, who is in us, working in us to will and to do on the day of visitation. The whole essence of the competitive edge is so that God will be glorified. Never forget that. The glory that manifests from Christ in this earthen vessel, in your earthen vessel, is so that God will be glorified. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, 16. Why does God want you to have a cutting edge? Why does God give you a cutting edge? Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The whole essence of Christ in us manifesting, wanting to manifest his life through us, is so that God will be glorified. This is important. This is important. The whole essence is for the glory of God. But the vessel must manifest. The Christ in that vessel, Christ in that life, right, must be allowed to manifest, must be allowed to do good works. So as Christ is working in that vessel, in enveloping that vessel and doing good works and healing the sick and encouraging those that are downcast and innovating solutions and creating solutions and solving difficult economic problems and coming up with policies that are glorious, men will see the good works. Although they've said that they can criticize the vessel, but when they see the product of the vessel, they will glorify God. Praise God. Praise God. So we've been able to establish and understand what this cutting edge means. We've also looked at answer the question, do you and I have a cutting edge? Do we all? Yes, we all have this cutting edge. And we've also been able to identify why God has given us a cutting edge, has given us this edge. Okay. But can we go a bit further to look at what some of this cutting edge could mean? Praise God. And in doing that, I want to take us to the story in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13. I would tell the story, and I want you to jump with me. You know, I want you to mark key things. All right. Now Saul, in verse 2, let's start from 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, I want you to mark 2. If you have a note or if you have your Bible, this is important because there's a study. You know, I don't just want to preach. I want us to study line by line. Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. This is important. Saul chose 3,000 men. 2,000 were with Saul in Mishmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. So the Philistines had been troubling Israel, that had been attacking Israel, and on this day, war was about to break out. And if you go quickly to verse 16, you know, time will fail me. That's why I'm just trying to paint a picture. In verse 16, it says, Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people present with them remain in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Mishmash. Then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. So they attacked Israel on three fronts, okay? And when they attacked Israel on three fronts, I want us to then go to 19. Like I said, when you have time, read it. I'm just going somewhere with this. It says, Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. But all the Israelites will go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattocks, his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for a sharpening was a pin. If you read it in, do you have the Message or on Good News Translation? We're doing a study. If you have it, you could bring it. So there was a charge, there was a cost. It says, two-thirds of a shekel for the plowshare, the mattocks, the fork, and the axes, and to fix the cattle gods. So to align the thing, if you've seen cattle plowing, that metallic thing that is attached to the hot, to the cow or the cattle or to horse to break the ground and make it soft. Okay, so it came about, I'm in verse 22, on the day of battle, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But they found Saul and Jonathan, his son. If you read it in other translation, no one had a sword and a spear or an axe or any weapon of warfare. It was only Saul and Jonathan. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just still put your hand on that scripture. I'll read one scripture and we'll come back to it. Okay. I want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20. Reading from verse 20. It says, do you have a King James or New King James? Please. It says, you are my battle axe. If you have King James, please put it on New King James. I want to read it from the New King James. Okay. It says, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you, I will break the nations in pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. With you, I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you, I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you, I will break in pieces man and woman. With you, I will break in pieces old and young. With you, I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also, I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you, I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you, I will break in pieces governors and rulers. Praise God. And I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. The Bible says that we are God's battle axe. We are God's battle axe. God is a God of war. We are the instrument of his warfare. Remember that I've said to you in times past that there is a war going. There's an ongoing war. That ongoing war for the souls of men. That ongoing war for the redemption of mankind. This war has been raging for a long time. And God is saying that for him to fight this war, he's actually the one fighting the war. He's actually the one in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's actually the one in us fighting, healing the sick. He's actually, yeah, you lay hands on people and they get healed, not because it was your hand which did the work, but it's Christ in you. You speak and people break down crying. People begin to reason. Their senses begin to come back to them, not because of it is you, but Christ in you, the words that he speaks through you, being spirit and life. It is not because we are able, but Christ in us, the weapon of warfare. We said we are God's battle axe. We are God's battle axe. And with us, he began to show us that he's going to break nations. He's going to break kingdoms, systems of the world, systems of oppression, systems of wickedness. He's going to use us to change lives and change destinies. He's going to use us as his people, as his battle axe for great things. But sadly, there was no blacksmith in the land. There was no blacksmith. There was no one that had the skill There was no one that had the skill to form axes. There was no one who had the professional skill. Why? Because everybody probably appreciated the fact that they were in time of peace. So why do we need to war? Why do we need war? We're not in war, so we don't need this skill. So we focus on the what we call the five ministry gifts. You know, we focus on evangelist, prophet. Oh, everybody wants to trip into that. And we go like, being a doctor is not spiritual. It's not, that's not what the Lord wants. So everybody was going. Remember, the temple was there. There was worship. There was daily sacrifice. Everyone was doing every other thing we thought was ministry. And we left the place of the blacksmith. The skill, the blacksmith is those that work on metal and work on iron. And in the whole of Israel, there was no blacksmith. So there was a lack of this cutting edge. There was a lack in this area. And what happened was that people were going to the enemy, the Philistines, to sharpen their instruments. There was no school run by believers. So we sent our children to schools in the Philistine territories. They were learning, they were paying. The Bible said they were paying to sharpen their instrument in the land of the Philistines. And when you take your knife to the Philistines to sharpen, and they take your money, how do you think they will sharpen your knife, knowing that you are an Israelite, you're a child of God? What do you think they would teach your knife? There were no, you see, look at it. There was no, the lack of blacksmith meant there was a lack of development of that industry, of that sector in Israel. And because of this lack of universities centered on God, lack of counselors, of therapists sent that we are saved, that were lack of health professionals, lack of lawyers who were saved, who understood the principle of God, who had the heart of God. There were no such people. Why? Because they felt they outsourced that skill and that profession. They outsourced it to their enemies. And when they did that, they were paying. So they make money. Rather than the money being within the community, they take the money and go and pay the enemy to teach their children, to babysit their children. There were no programs, TV programs, TV shows. There were no radio shows that were being written and produced by Israelites. They had to go to the Philistines. And the Philistines had their culture, had their new Israel was a threat. Remember, the Bible says, David said to the Israelites, woe to them that are ease in Zion. So this was going on. So how are we going to fight? Because when the day of war came, the people that were with King Saul and Jonathan all deferred to them. So it was like the eye of blind man being led by one man with one eye. They didn't realize, Saul and Jonathan didn't realize the need to develop the people around them, to equip them with the same armor they had, with the same type of skill they had. They felt sending their children to school in the Philistine land was a sign of you've arrived. Consulting Philistine marriage counselors was a fad. Consulting Philistine psychologists was a fad. What do you think they're teaching? What do you think they're impacting? Why? Because people felt this one is not spiritual, this one is spiritual. And what happened was that when war came, imagine when war came, they were going to the enemy to sharpen their weapon to fight against the person that owns the industry and owns that sector. Friends, God wants to give us back our cutting edge. And that cutting edge means that each and every one of us must come into your calling. You must come into your place. Everything we do is spiritual because Christ in us, the hope of glory. God wants to use us to destroy kingdoms. The kingdom, the mindset. He wants to use us to destroy the things that have held mankind bound, the sicknesses, the diseases, the poverty, the unemployment, the racism, the factionalism, the oppression, the unrighteousness, the drug abuse, the alcohol abuse, the crime rate. God wants to use us. But he cannot fight this war against the devil who is destroying lives if we fail to come into our place. Christ in us, the hope of glory. No blacksmith, no university to teach blacksmith, no professors to teach blacksmith, no designers. Where are the designers designing clothes that people will wear, you go like, wow. Ooh. This dress is modest, but it's elegant. Look at the robe the priest wore, the design, the detail, awesome. The houses being built with God in mind, with the creativity of God in mind. Friends, it's time for us to arise and go into your place, because that is God. We are God's competitive edge. We are God's battle axe. Praise God. Bible said in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 15, he will make us sharp threshing instruments. And with us, he will break mountains. The backbone of infidelity in our tradition, in our culture. The things that you know is wrong in your society, in your family, in your lineage. God has raised you and I as battle axes, so that like Gideon, we can lay the axe head on the root and say, no more would this happen to my children. Our children being abused, our children being molested, our husbands killing themselves, our wives turning to become men. All these systems of the world, all this system, where are we learning it? Because we don't have our own systems. We are not going into our calling. We are not going into our place. And because we are not going into our place, because we have left the blacksmith. The Bible says, time will fail me. Why was there no blacksmith? Why was there no blacksmith? You read the scripture. The Bible said the blacksmith helping the coppersmith helping the goldsmith. And he said, one will say to the other, my brother, be strong. Why? Because maybe nobody valued the blacksmith. Nobody valued the gift that the other has. If you value my gift, you pay me for my services. If I value your gift, I don't take you for granted. I invest in it. Oh, probably the people were like, nobody's patronizing us. No career path. You know, so let me just leave this. And as people are leaving our places and focusing on the wrong thing, we have left the world. Yes, we are coming to the church. But what God said to us, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Praise God. Why are we losing our cutting edge? Time will fail me, but I'll just give you two things. Why did Samson lose his cutting edge? Samson lost his cutting edge because of sin. Sin can make you lose your cutting edge and lose your purpose and your focus. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, sin is a reproach, righteousness exalts a nation. John chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus saw the man that had been crippled for 38 years, saw him in the temple and said to him, don't go back to sin, or something worse would come upon you. Praise God. Praise God. Or we can also lose our cutting edge because of weariness, tiredness, or because of you. Sometimes, you know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, where the servant was using the axe head, using it, and he fell into the water. Sometimes because people don't validate your gift, you leave it to go for where you feel you can get money. Because some gifts and some cutting edge might not give you monetary wealth or riches on earth. Imagine you are teaching nursery school children or primary school children, or imagine you are running a newsletter that just encourages marriages, or you are just a counselor, you know, advising people on the marriage or teaching the word. You might not be rich in this world. And, you know, then you then compare yourself with other people, you know, the accolade, the respect, you know, once the pastor comes, his bag is carried, or he's flying a private, you go like, no, let me leave this, my ministry that is not being recognized. I think this is where that can make us lose our cutting edge. My time is up. Time will fail me to take us into this, but God wants to restore our cutting edge. And very quickly, what are some of these cutting edge? The cutting edge, it can be split into two categories. There's the spiritual cutting edge. The spiritual cutting edge is the first one is the word of God. No, the first one is salvation. The second one is the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God said, you encounter a situation and you go to what God said. What God said, you apply it and you do well and out. You just, you know, like forgiveness, you forgive and you are healed. You are at peace. But you don't forgive, you diminish. So the word of God, what God says, is a part of a spiritual edge, cutting edge. Prayer. Oh, you pray and God answers the prayer. That is another spiritual cutting edge. Mentorship, you know, is another cutting edge. You know, Moses was leading the people, judging, doing everything. He was in charge of administration. He opened the church, he would close, he would do this. He was doing everything. But the mentor, the father-in-law, came and said to him, no, you need to understand the ministry of administration. You need to understand the power of delegation. You need to understand the power of having a succession plan. When you go, empower your wife, empower your children, empower them so that when you go, the legacy still carries on. It's not when you are dying that you'll be looking, you know. We've seen churches break up. We've seen homes break up, go into poverty because there was no plan. The man is thinking, your wife is not going to steal your money. Tell her what you do. Make her a signature to your account. If she eats your money, and so what? Two shall become one. So that's the mentorship, you know, advising and knowing what to do. That will give you an edge. That will give you an edge. Those are the spiritual, because of time. Then there's the skill side, the skill edge as well, where Joseph built the learned how to store grain for longer, for 14 years. He learned how to store grain. That grain, the first 7 years, it's a skill. And that gives you an edge. You know how to strategize. That's an edge. You know how anything you're good at, on the physical, mental side, is another edge. But time will fail me, and I trust that the things that you've heard will bless you mightily. And remember that you are God's battle axe. He wants to use you to show and manifest his glory to the world. He wants to use your marriage. He wants to use your children. He wants to use your the works of your hand. It's time for us to stop going to the Philistines to sharpen our instruments of warfare. It's time for us to stop paying. We earn money and we use it to go and pay other people to teach our children and to teach them rubbish and teach them to hate God, to hate our parents, to hate the institution of marriage and God and respect and value, a value system. No, we need to. Our teachers need to wake up. Our administrators need to wake up. I need to wake up. all of us need to come together to create our own blacksmith and own institution and industries, because that will be the edge. The people will come. Bible said when Queen Sheba came to Israel, and she saw the dress, the house helps, the servants wore in Israel, her heart gave up. Excellence by excellence, organization, industry. She saw the kingdom. She saw the glory. She saw the glory. She saw the glory. Amen. I trust that God will bless you. And as we go into, as I hand over back to Pastor, I pray that God will bless you mightily.
Lord, have I lost my cutting edge? Where and how? How did this happen? People, let's go to a time of reflection, a time of prayers. There's something that happens also in the place of communion, in the place of breaking bread. That as we come to that place tonight, that God will open our eyes. Where we might have lost the cutting edge, or we've not taken advantage of what God has actually given to us. I want to encourage us that we pray tonight. Why do we lose our cutting edge? Why do the edge go blunt? Lord, we ask tonight. This word has come to reignite, to revive, to wake us up. Lord, your word comes to correct, to instruct, to rebuke, to guide, to chastise us. Lord, are we sitting down when we should be standing? Are we standing when we should be walking? Are we walking when we should be running? Are we running when we should be flying? Lord, we just come by the blood of Jesus tonight to ask for your mercy.
Yes, Lord.
For cleansing, for forgiveness, as you are stirring our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Lord, show us. Please, I will encourage every one of us. Show me the state of my axe. I am the Lord's battle axe. But if that axe, if thy head is blunt, it becomes useless. Lord, show me the state.
My axe.
The state of my axe. I am your battle axe. Show me my state. Show me where I've gone blunt. Open my understanding. The word has come tonight to bring that healing, to bring that revival. It's a revival. It's a revival, people. A revival.
Mazata, if I come to
a revival,
you will in no way
become so complacent.
Lord, I ask, oh God, spirit of complacency.
Lord,
for every attitude of complacency,
thank you for your word,
every hypocrisy, Lord, thank every you. Sin, oh God, thank Lord, you. Every putting my hand up, plow, looking back, oh God,
Lord, I become so contented,
God, every dullness in my spirit. Every dullness in my life, Masopasata. You said, "Who do you?" You said, "Strong meat is for those who are full age, who are by reason of use." Lord, I've not been using my axe in the different areas, and I've gone moribund. I've gone blunt. Oh God, Lord, have mercy upon me in the name of Jesus. Lord God who answers prayer. Lord said, if I confess my sin, you will
Lord
me away. Lord, the things I've said other people will do. Masata, the passing the book. Lord, the pasato kosha. Lord, the complacency, the rest, the ease. Lepo soto kosoto. Thinking I am.
Oh Lord.
Lord, I ask for mercy. Father, the hurting of knowledge, the hurting of information, the self-centeredness of my spirit. Father, the deceitfulness of riches, oh God.
Yes,
I can pay for someone else to sharpen my axed. Lord, I ask, oh God, Father, the lack of sensitivity. Father, epakusa mata, makrabasun tele. Have mercy on me, Lord. Tokunabanatosha, Lord, Mazatoko Zanahandelegere. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I've come to your table tonight. Lord, do not pass me by as you are sharpening others, O God. Lord, sharpen me. My prayer life, my word life, Lord, de Pazanatu Kadayagada, Epuntun Kremasi. Lord, my ears, oh God, Father, my eyes, oh God, my spiritual senses, Lord, sharpen me again tonight, oh God. The things I've left undone, the things that I said that are buried, Lord, for the day when you will come, no man knows. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it's yet day, for night is coming. When no man will work. Oh God.
Have mercy, O God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. People, I just sense the word that has come to us tonight is just to steer. It's a steering. It's a word. The word of God is a two-edged sword. Two-edged. But that word itself must be sharp. So that it can pierce, it can divide, separate the soul from the spirit, the bone from the marrow.
Lord,
have you become so dull?
Iron sharpens iron. Lord, Lord, sharpen me, Lord.
If our ears have become dull, if our hearts have become so heavy, that we don't hear your word again. The word, the sword, the cutting. Lord, we just receive everything you are saying to us tonight. Thank you for healing us with your word. Steering us again. Gifts that have been buried. Talents. Like that parable of the talents, Lord, you gave. Have we buried that one talent because we say it's one? We buried it because we are saying, oh, after all, I don't have up to what the other that had three or the one that had five. What about the one? Thank you for resurrecting that one in us today. If you are sitting where you should be standing, let this word hear you up tonight to stand. Father, help us.
Help us, Lord.
My prayer, my studying, my receiving, and my doing. My doing. Listen, I perceive. The problem is not in the hearing. The problem is in the doing. The Lord is saying that we've had the word enough. We've had the word enough. Don't use the excuse. Don't use the excuse. I want to sit down and hear more. What about the one you've heard? What are you doing? What have we done with that which you've heard? It is time to arise. It is time for the blacksmiths to be awakened. Iron sharpens iron. But when there's iron and there's no other iron to sharpen, that iron will be useless. That iron can be overused. Who are we surrounding ourselves with? Yes, who are we surrounding ourselves with? Are you seeking to sharpen somebody else? Or because of competition? The spirit of competition. We refuse to sharpen others. Father, restore unity. Restore unity. Take away that competitiveness, Lord, and bring the complementing of one another where we sharpen one another. And the only competitive edge we have is against the enemy. Not against one another. What is it that we have that we have not received?
The Lord will be complimentary.
You blessed Abraham that he will be a blessing to all the families in the earth. Father, everything you've blessed every one of us with tonight, Lord, we receive the stirring to become blessings to one another. Especially, you said, to do good to those of the household of faith.
Amen. Amen.
Because when we love one another and the world sees, peace shall all men know that we are your disciples indeed when we have love one for another. Listen, look for someone now to start sharpening. Look for someone now that is, you're not seen as a competition, but as a complementor. If there's any word like that. Not a competition, not a competitor. Someone to complement. As we complement one another, we sharpen one another. As we sharpen one another, we have that competitive edge over the enemy. That we stop going to the camp of the enemy to sharpen our plowshares, our sword. Father, raise up blacksmiths. Raise up, let the blacksmiths wake up. You know that scripture you shared? I think we should look for it. As we were ministering, God was showing me, and God will start placing people to see themselves in that scripture. The blacksmith helping the
goldsmith.
Yes, please. If we can find that scripture, we're going to use that scripture to pray tonight and take communion. We are all waking up. Let the goldsmith wake up. Let the blacksmith wake up. Let the silversmith wake up. Father, thank you, Jesus. If the media team also can help, or if anyone watching tonight, you can put it in the comment. You know where that scripture is, please. We're using that scripture to pray. I sense this. Holy Spirit is stirring us, stirring us, stirring us to see where we fit in. Thank you, Jesus. Please, those watching also, you know that scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We will find it. Yes, Lord. It's a study. It's a stirring. And we must catch that spirit tonight.
Isaiah 41, 6 and 7.
Okay.
Isaiah 41.
Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 41. Look at this. This is powerful. This is awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, All right, let's look at it. It says, everyone, look at that, helped his neighbor. And set to his brother, be of good courage. When last did you encourage somebody? When last? You know, Ezekwe, one of the things that I found out, and I remembered, you know, that helped me to start discovering my calling. I noticed every time I was feeling low, I couldn't understand why I was going through bouts of depression, sad today, happy tomorrow, until it was like a light bulb moment. I realized when I'm low and I go to encourage somebody or I go to help reach out to somebody, wow, it's like that heaviness lifts. Do you know what I discovered? I realized that, you know, the Bible says, he that waters,
water also.
For you to water somebody, the water has to pass through you first. So I literally open up myself for the water to pass through me so I can go and encourage somebody else. Look at it. Everyone helped his neighbor. When last did you help your neighbor, saith the Lord? And said to his brother, be of good courage. When last did you encourage somebody? You know, we usually wait for somebody to come and encourage us. We look around, we take offense. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's thinking about me. Nobody's coming to help me. Listen, the secret, you get up, go and look for someone to help. It's in your hands, the little you have. Even simple words of encouragement. Text somebody, just call somebody. I'm just ringing to encourage you. I'm just ringing to find out how you are. And listen, usually when you're feeling low, seems like we are getting some encouragement there now.
She's come to encourage me.
She's come to encourage daddy. Listen, so let's read on verse 7. So, look at this. The craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. They are two areas of specialization.
Two professions.
Two different professions. They did not see each other as a threat. That the goldsmith is going to run me out of business. Everybody will go to the goldsmith and ignore me, the craftsman. No! Craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smotes with the hammer inspired him who strikes with the anvil. Saying, look at this. It is ready for soldering. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. Listen, people.
Pastor, I just received something from that.
Yes.
You know, it says he one prepared and passed over to the other. So it meant that not one person finished the whole work.
That's right.
One person did and passed over to some other person. Yes. So it means I don't need to start and finish it.
No. It's like, you know, in a factory, this chain, what's this thing called? Where, you know,
the belt. Is it
called? Yes, the belt, the conveyor belt. Some people are the ones who prepare, put it on the conveyor. It goes to the people. Some people will add the topping, move it to the next person. Those ones will add, you know, something else, move it to the next person. They bring the wrapper out, move it to the next person. They wrap it up. Excuse me. At the end of the day, who takes the glory?
He takes the glory.
Are you playing your part?
It's
time for us to wake up.
Amen.
As we go to the communion table tonight, let's all go to the communion table. Please get the bread and get the wine. There is something about this communion that I saw that always encourages me. Always, always encourages me. This, something happened on the road to Emmaus. I believe it's in the book of Luke. Let me just check where it is again. You know, they were discouraged. Jesus had been crucified at this time. And let me just look for the scripture. I opened it now. I think it's Luke chapter get it now.
24:13.
Yes, Luke chapter 24. Let's go to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. In, you know, that particular verse talked about their eyes opened. Okay? Their eyes were open. I'm trying to see. Did I get the right scripture now? Okay.
Verse 30.
All right, from verse 30. So look at it. The Lord came and he sat at the table, like I believe tonight, because we've come to the Lord's table. He took the bread, he blessed, he broke it, he gave to them. And look at what happened. Then their eyes were opened. They knew him. They knew him. I pray tonight as we come to this table, with the Lord sitting at the table with us, our understanding, our eyes will be opened. Our cutting edge, the things we've lost, the things we've buried, will come back to life.
Amen.
We'll receive our cutting edge back.
Amen.
To be relevant to one another. For the goldsmith, the craftsman, and everyone to start playing your part and stop seeing ourselves as insignificant and as competition to one another. It is a lone ranger who also will not be sharpened. Because it takes another iron to sharpen another iron. So if you want to be a lone ranger, that will not work for you. So let's repent tonight as we come to that table and we do it with understanding that as we are breaking this bread right now, Father, we bless the bread. We bless this bread. This is your body. And we bless, Lord, the cup tonight, which is your blood shed for us. The blood, for Lord, we receive forgiveness for everything we've not done, we've left undone. For the spirit of competition, rather than complimenting, we repent. We receive cleansing by the blood.
Amen.
And we thank you tonight that healing, deliverance, stirring, resurrection, things are raised back to life right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let's just read from the book of Corinthians and we'll all eat together and believe. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took the bread. Please take the bread tonight. Okay, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, please give thanks for the word of the Lord you've heard tonight. Give thanks for the stirring that your axe had. I receive back my cutting edge. I do that which I've been called to do. I play my part from today. He broke it. Well, Lord, we break this bread right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we eat, thank you for strength and thank you for resurrection and thank you for giving us that insight again, understanding again, to not only restore our cutting edge, but to use our axes as your battle axe in Jesus' name. Please eat tonight. Say, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Lord, we eat this in remembrance of everything you've spoken to us, dreams, visions, your word. We do this in remembrance of everything. You stir us up the gifts, the stirring of the gifts in us. We remember tonight. Verse 25, in the same manner I took the cup, same manner is we give thanks. As we drink your blood tonight, we are cleansed, we are purged. We receive newness, we receive life. The life is in the blood. And by the stripes, we are cleansed, healed, purged, and revived through the life that is in the blood in the name of Jesus. In the same manner, I took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Lord, we remember your covenant. We reenact the covenant. Our path of the covenant is to believe. You said, if we believe, we will see the glory. We believe, and through our belief, we act. We begin to do what you've called us to do. We begin to play our part in the name of Jesus. It says, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till it comes. It was through your death and your resurrection that you raised champions, sons and daughters unto glory. Father, thank you tonight. Please drink and receive life again to do everything you've been created to do in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, get back into that team. Get back into teamwork. Get back on the production line. Enough of the excuses. Lord is saying, get back. Return to your duty post. Get back in line. Get back into the team. And do that which you've been called. In the name of Jesus, do not bury what God has given you. Receive resurrection, receive life, and go in this power and might tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, thank you for your Son as you have flowed into him and through him as his water tonight is the first partaker. Mm-hmm. As he's watered us, he's watered the work of his hands, his family, his home, his wife, his children, his ministry, his calling, watered. Thank you. So this abundance shall continue to flow into him and through him. And being the first partaker, Lord, he will testify even of what you've done tonight.
Amen.
In his life and through him, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
To God be all the glory.
Amen.
And of course, we're starting. We will see you again to the glory of God.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we hand over to the media team now.